Somehow, the man had returned to the floor of the rift on foot in the smoky chaos and switched the Gedurfi for the loudhailer. But there wasn't time for Orin to contemplate that. Half the posse was staring at him as he held the Tusken weapon. And wherever Kenobi was, he saw it.
They're interested in your collection, Orin. The weapons and clothing you've taken from Tuskens in the past. That you've used, you and your family, in strikes against your neighbors.
Aware of the stares, Orin threw the weapon to the ground repulsed. What a crazy story, he said, forcing a chuckle. Dancing with Tuskens is Kenobi's game.
You have me wrong,
Ben said, his voice coming from everywhere and nowhere.
I only wanted to live here in peace. You're the one who's making war. All to sell your protection service.
It's not ours, Vika yelled, clearly rattled. Tell them, Dad! Orin looked urgently toward her. Shut up, he implored with his eyes. I have to do the talking. He's wrong, Orin said, facing the others. We keep some trophies, sure, who wouldn't? But he got this stuff from his friends back there who sent the Banthas. And the settlers' call fund isn't ours either. It's a public trust.
Then tell them the balance. Tell them you haven't been stealing from it to pay your debts. Tell them you didn't attack Tyler Bazaar's father when he wouldn't join, leaving the man hobbled and unable to save himself later when the Tuskens attacked for real. Tell them you didn't attack the Ulbrich place yourself last night. Tell them you didn't flee when I happened along.
Warren straightened, searching for a friendly face on which to fix his gaze. There weren't many. One settler after another looked angered, agitated, or bewildered. And while Ulbrich looked ready to explode. Is that true, Galt? Is that true? Mullen looked at his father mortified, but there was a way out. Orin fished for his best smile and found it. People! People! I'm a farmer! He said, shouting so all could hear. Like you! I get water out of the air! That man? He gets stories out of it! He shrugged theatrically. You've enjoyed my generosity! You know I do well enough on my own. I have all the money I would ever need.
That's excellent news,
came another amplified voice, this one from the desert. Orin looked back, suddenly aware of the large hover skiff floating outside the rift. On its deck, flanked by gun-toting thugs, was Moset Benid. He wore a neck brace and held a loudhailer in front of his mouth.
Jabba wants his money, Orin Galt, and he wants it now.
Chapter 43. A Yark stood flat against one of the pillars and looked down the rocky incline to the settlers far below.
The Hutt's people,
she said, her voice dripping with disgust.
We can smell them.
The Tuscan cast her eye across the natural corridor.
You said there would only be settlers.
Ben crouched nearby, holding Orin's green sound device and surveying the scene below. Beneath his cowl, Ben had wrapped a loose cloth over his lower face in deference to the Tuscan's sensibilities. Now he pulled it down and scratched his chin. The human seemed startled by the appearance of the skiff.
This wasn't in my plan.
The war leader's ire boiled.
You told us.
I told you I'd bring Orin Galt to justice.
He could choose between his people's justice or yours. Ben shook his head.
I thought he'd turn back.
A Yark didn't care what the settlers wanted. Ben had brought the enemy to their gate as promised, but they'd come in far greater numbers than the clan could oppose. A Yark had stationed the few warriors she had at the other access points, but if the settlers really wanted to follow Ben up into the pillars, nothing could stop them. The high camp
would be overrun. Ben had acted quickly then, calling for the Tuscan women and children to herd their precious banthas down into the Arroyo. Many of the banthas had lost their riders in the gorge massacre, and Ayak had been pleased to see them getting some small revenge. The animals had bought them precious time, but now the arrival of the hut's minions had compounded the danger. The criminals did not fear the Tuscans, as all should. It was the huts that had killed Sherat Het years earlier. Ayak knew that Ben deserved death for bringing this upon them. She would give it to him, were it in her power. But in the light of the suns, she had to admit their fall had begun long before he arrived. "It went wrong," she said, not knowing why she was speaking. "We are so weak. Tuscans are all so weak because of what happened more than 3 cycles ago. Ben looked at her curious. "What happened?"
"There was another massacre," she said. "A camp of mighty warriors wiped away. The women and children, too."
For some reason, her words seemed to strike a target deep within Ben. "The children? All killed? A crate dragon? Some other predator?" Ayak shook her head.
"A predator, yes. But death came on 2 legs, she said. We know.
"But the children," Ben said. "Settlers don't usually kill them, do they?"
"Settlers orphan. Settlers abandon," she said. "Predator slaughtered."
Ben paused, as if seeming to piece something together.
"I wonder."
Ayak saw his eyes fix forward, filling with dread. It looked to her as if Ben was in another place now, imagining or experiencing something that filled his mind with horror.
"What?"
she asked. Ben regained his composure. "Something I'm going to have to look into at another time," he said. "I'm starting to suspect the Sand People's confidence may not have been the only victim of that event."
"No matter now,"
she said, withdrawing from the lookout point.
"I must hide my people."
"I'll help," Ben said, rising to follow. "Protecting homes is my specialty." With that, he turned back and followed her up the incline.